Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio, and I really just want this day to be over. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. I'm not promising you I can take your call, and I'll get to that in a minute, but that's how you do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the new blogs usually go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but I had an unexpected morning off as I had decided to destroy my computer. So, sadly, the blog didn't go up today. Hopefully, we can catch up on Saturday. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. Mr. Fantasy never does, but I think we've decided he's just like that. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, the three E's.
Oh, so yes, I was telling Dan I stupidly leaned on my computer this morning, and it went haywire, and I did something to the hard drive, so I have swapped it out for the older model that I have that still works but doesn't work very quickly. So hopefully we will make the whole hour, Dan, and we will be able to not have too many issues. And your son?
Oh, hopefully not.
Oh.
Pretty much.
And, all right, well, you know, I know you're all excited about it, Dan. I'm sure you've got everything set up, and you're, you know, I didn't even figure, but you're probably having a viewing party tomorrow. First round of the NFL draft. Y'all ready for this?
Oh, God, I already can't wait for it to be over.
Oh, come on. You know you love the draft. So, you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, mock draft after mock draft and, you know, it's so weird because I think there's guys on like their, you know, 15th mock draft or whatever, and it's unbelievable like how much attention this can actually get, and it's just like, man, they're living and dying by what these guys you know, what these guys have going on. So I don't know. I didn't do one because last time I tried to do one, I was so far off it wasn't even funny, but, you know, I guess, do the Browns take a quarterback at number one like everybody says they're going to? Do they need to? You know, I know you love Cleveland. Why, you know, what do you have them doing?
Nothing special. I mean, their only best bet would be to go for the best guy on the board, right? And hope they don't screw that up, too.
Yeah, but you know, that was kind of what I thought. You know, like if I was Cleveland, and obviously I'm not, they didn't hire me when their general manager position was open. You know, they have the first pick in the draft and the fourth pick in the draft. So I don't understand why they're not taking, there's a running back named Saquon Barkley who's head and shoulders above all the other running backs. He's the best player in the draft. But, you know, everybody is so set on you have to have the quarterback that they're going to pass up on this guy to take whoever they think is the best quarterback. I don't understand why they don't take the running back, kind of let the quarterback chips fall where they may. They're sitting at four. They've got five or six quarterbacks that they think could go in the first round. You could get one at four. You could get the best player in the draft and then probably the second best quarterback in the draft because the Giants are sitting at number two, and I know people are saying they're going to take a quarterback, but that would be as dumb as Cleveland taking a quarterback over the best running back because, you know, Eli's not going to stop playing for probably two or three more years. So you waste the number two pick on this quarterback and then he sits on your bench for three seasons? That would be kind of dumb when you can get one next year or the year after that and develop him, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, but maybe they'll pull a Mitchell Trubisky.
And what, play him part of the time? You're not going to do that. Well, the one coach did it to Eli, but obviously he's out of a job now. So, like I said, I've been looking at these stupid things and trying to figure these stupid things out, and it's almost like the media pressure has Cleveland taking a QB, and if they don't get it, they're going to get skewered. And I'm just like, wait, why not improve yourself at two positions? Because if they don't take the running back, the Giants probably will. They need a running back. It would be stupid for them to pass it up, unless they do go out and make the trade with Buffalo. But I don't think Buffalo has enough ammo to move all the way up to number two. So I don't know. I don't understand why. I guess maybe it's because, guys like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz have had so much success that you have to go get the quarterback now. Is that the deal?
Pretty much, but I mean, has it really worked out for everybody?
No, I mean, does it ever? I mean, obviously it worked out for the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl, and the Rams had a pretty good year, and that's all you need. I mean, it's a copycat league. If some guy went out there and hopped on one foot and scored 10 touchdowns, everybody would be out there hopping on one foot. So, it's just kind of, how the NFL goes.
Then, everyone else after that wanted to run all over the field.
Right. That was the ascension of the mobile quarterback. I mean, not everybody went that route, but there's still guys out there today who go that way. There's still, a lot of nice mobile quarterbacks. And, even some of the top guys, Aaron Rodgers is quite the mobile quarterback. It's just, he has a whole lot of other attributes, so people don't really talk about that much. But, when he needs to run, he can run. But, I don't know. I just kind of... it's kind of like, to the point where it's like, just please shut up. It's like going out with Mr. Fantasy. It's like, please just stop talking. So, no, I'm kidding. He's really not that bad. So, I know the Bears are picking, they weren't bad enough to get up where they're going to get somebody who's probably going to be a lot of help. I know there's like one great offensive lineman, so maybe he'll hang around long enough for the Bears to get him, and they can at least try to protect Trubisky so he doesn't get killed. Other than that, I'm just kind of like, yeah. Oh, and I did see Dan. It's not Joe Buck. It's Troy Aikman and somebody else doing the draft on Fox.
Hmm.
So I assume Joe
game?
Buck had a Cardinal game. Yeah, I assumed he had a Cardinals game or something he couldn't get out of. So, or they didn't want to either give him the day off or however that worked out. But, yeah, I forgot. I think it's their college football guy, their main college football guy. It might be Joel Klatt or somebody like that who's one of their mainstay college guys that's going to do the draft analysis with Troy Aikman. And it'll be interesting because I don't know how big of a college football guy Aikman is, so I'm not quite sure what kind of knowledge he has on this. But they'll have the guy to cover it up. And then the Mickey Mouse Network is adding good old Kirk Herbstreit to their coverage. So he's their college football expert there. So we'll see how that all works out. But I haven't looked, Dan, and I'm guessing you probably haven't either, but is the draft on three networks now? Or are they carrying it on Fox, the Mickey Mouse Network, and the NFL Network?
I didn't care enough to check.
that was just one of those things that kind of popped into my mind because I saw the promo for Fox, And then I heard, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network talking about it earlier, and now I'm just assuming it's on the NFL Network because, well, it's the NFL Network, and you would think they would want to cover the draft. So, you know, but, yeah, that just seems kind of, I don't know, maybe they wanted to make sure that everybody got it into, you know, got to see it. You know, if you don't have the Mickey Mouse Network, you have Fox and, you know, possibly the NFL Network. I would think you would have Fox or the Mickey Mouse Network over the NFL Network, wouldn't you? Do you have all three of those channels?
Yeah. NFL Network comes with everything now.
Yes. Oh, does it? Yeah. Yeah, so sadly, you know, like I said, I have the NFL and the NBA and the MLB. I just don't have the NHL. So
that's weird.
Because I would actually watch the NHL Network if I had it, but I do not have it. It's like part of the Ultra package or something here to.
Yeah, but to NBC Sports plays all the good NHL games.
Yeah, you know, that is pretty much true. You know, if you're looking for something, you can get it, you know, right there anyway. So it's not too big of a deal on how it's going to go. So we shall see. But all right, I think that's about all Dan and I know about football for the day. You know, Dan, we do have some, I guess at this point we can call them pretty important basketball games. You know, we got a couple that should be starting, I believe, relatively soon. I think they're 6 p.m. starts on our time. We've got the Indiana Pacers. I believe they're in Cleveland. It's game 5. Would they be in Cleveland? Yeah, because then game 6 and 7 would be in Indiana. You know, that's – or no, actually – I don't know, wherever the hell they are. Indiana's playing Cleveland tonight in some place. Go look for the game. Figure it out yourself. You got Indiana possibly pulling this off, Dan? I mean, I believe it's 2-2. Have they scared LeBron enough, or are they scared the NBA enough to where they're going to, you know, make sure we get this series over in the next couple games and it only goes 6?
Oh, I wish. I'm hoping. You know, but I'm sure they'll find a way for the King to score like 60 points, and the rest of the team will score 25. You know.
Yeah. Or do you think maybe they want to stretch this out to 7 now, since you know the Golden State has already advanced, and you know the Rockets. If the Rockets win tonight, they're going to advance. You think maybe they want to keep the King around a little longer to try to get some TV ratings out of this?
No, I think they know that the next round is going to, you know, it's just going to get better.
So, yeah, and then the other 6 o'clock start, I'm a little surprised they're starting at the same time, but the Pacers-Cavs game is on TNT, and you actually have to have NBA TV to watch the other game. That's where the Wizards and the Raptors are. You know, Dan, that's another 2-2 series, and, you know, I kind of got off the Wizards bandwagon at the start of the playoffs, and, you know, because they tumbled in as an 8th seed, and, you know, I don't even know if they deserve to be a playoff team. They were playing, like, pretty much garbage. And now all of a sudden they're going at it with the number 1 seed, and they're playing pretty well. You know, Dan, I can't do it to myself. I can't get back on the bandwagon, but are the Raptors going to – I guess Raptor would be the best way to put it, and choke another series away to an 8 seed like they did last year?
It's possible, I mean, but I don't think so. I think they're going to take it over, close out their series.
Yeah, it was just kind of one of those things. And then we move on. The other game started 8:30, and they're TNT NBA TV games as well. The TNT game has the Timberwolves and the Rockets. Are we saying goodbye to the T-Wolves tonight, Dan? I know Houston's up 3-1. You know, I think you and I both kind of figured Minnesota would get one win, and they did get it. Do we say goodnight to Jimmy and Derek and Taj and Thibs and all those guys for a year?
Oh, yeah. I think it's good run, right?
Yeah, you know, not bad. I think the Butler injury really hurt him when he was out that long. But, you know, I guess the question, Dan, I need you to answer is, did they gain that valuable playoff experience in this series? So maybe they're a little more of a contender next year. I know when you look at their team, I mean, you know, I don't know if they ever match up with Houston and Golden State, but maybe they could be the third best team. I know people don't normally mention it, but, you know, Jimmy Butler is really one of the better players in the league, and he actually plays both ways. He's a very good defender as well as an offensive threat. So, yeah, I don't know. Did they do enough? Did they learn enough? Do you like them enough for us to go out on a limb and say, hey, this team's going to be there?
They need somebody else added to that team.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do have Karl Anthony Towns. I know he's been a disappointment in the playoffs. You wonder if maybe he's the young guy who needs the learning experience, and this is helping him the most, even though they're getting, you know, I know they got bludgeoned last game pretty much, but maybe that's the ticket. He's the guy who steps up and improves.
They would need him to, but I still think they need another star power player to really, you know, jump from barely skating into the eighth spot.
So I know what you're saying, Dan. You're saying LeBron is going to sign with them in the off season, aren't you?
Yep. The biggest curveball.
The night wraps up on MTV. MTV, yeah. They don't play video, so they got to put something on there that's not Jersey Shore. On NBA TV, we got the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Surprisingly, Dan, the Jazz are up 3-1, and they can close this thing out. Do you? Are they sending your guy Carmelo and Russ and all those guys home, or do you think? You think the Thunder force a game, what a game six it would be, because this is five.
Is this the team with Carmelo and John Stockton?
No, it's Donovan Mitchell and Ricky Rubio.
Wow. I don't know. I think the Thunder should be able to pull one out and then maybe come back, but I don't know. It's 3-1. I think it's leaning towards the Jazz.
So, then since we are on basketball here, even though this is kind of swinging towards the college cases here, Dan, I don't know. You know, I didn't even realize this was going on. That's how much attention I pay to basketball, let alone college basketball. But apparently they had a commission do an independent probe. It was led by Condoleezza Rice, who used to be Secretary of State, right? That was what she used to be for the government. Okay. And they came up with some interesting ideas. Again, they can't implement any of these, and I doubt the NCAA will either. It was just a way to probably make themselves look good, but they want to see the NCAA get rid of the one-and-done rule. So, let's start there. Do you want to see that rule go away, Dan?
I don't really watch college basketball, so I don't really care. But if they want to get rid of that, I mean, how do they get rid of that without the NBA adjusting their rules?
Yeah, well, and now this is something, even though they made all these suggestions, none of this can really happen until 2020, because that's when the CBA runs to, and the NBA would have to agree with them about getting rid of the one-and-done rule, which is kind of humorous that the NBA actually has leverage when it comes to college basketball. But in reality, it's kind of like their minor league system, so I guess it shouldn't be a huge surprise. Some of the interesting ones.
I think
go ahead.
I think it would be better for everybody all around. You know, because, I mean, let's be honest, are these one-in gunners really making that big of a difference in the NBA? I really haven't seen it.
I think some do. You know, obviously it depends on talent level. So,
you know, but then to have more of a reason, you know, maybe people would get behind college teams a little bit more. You know, regular fans who might pick it up because they, you know, I don't know. I still won't get. I don't really get involved in it. I don't even do brackets, so it's really hard to say.
I did the brackets, and the teams I had in the title game went out in the first weekend. So shows you what I know about college basketball. You know, I think by getting rid of the one and done, it has a little more plausibility with them using the term student athlete. Because as of now, I mean, you and I both know, Dan, that any of these guys who just finished up the basketball season and have now declared for the NBA draft are no longer on campus. They're in a training camp with their agent working out for the draft. So, you know, there was never a student part to them being student athletes. It was simply athletes. The university used them to make a little money off them, kept them eligible for, I think they only got to be eligible for the one semester, right, before basketball starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you take intro to everything. I mean, I'm sure they only need, you know, what, 3 or 4 full-time classes to stay eligible. You know, you take intro to, you know, phys ed or basket weaving or walking or whatever, you know, classes they have for you there. You go play your basketball. You pack up your bags and you head off to camp with your agent. I mean, let's not be stupid. I mean, I know we would all love it, you know, think it's this great fallacy about this kid going to school and getting straight A's and, you know, he's studying hard. You know, we all know better than that by now. You know, that fantasy is long gone. These guys are gone and in camps and getting ready to be drafted and negotiating contracts and stuff, right? I mean, or looking for endorsement deals, right, Dan? They got to get with a new company?
Yeah, like Big Baller brand.
Yes. So we'll get to him when I'm done with this because there was actually a little news on him today, too. You know, like the interesting stuff that, you know, they kind of brought up, I like the way they kind of suggested they changed the penalty structure. You know, like they mentioned adopting like a 5-year postseason ban. And then the big thing, Dan, of course, is loss of postseason revenue sharing. Because, you know, the conferences all share in that revenue. And then the interesting thing I like here is the possibility of a lifetime ban on a coach who gets caught cheating. Because, you know, Dan, a lot of times these coaches get caught, you know, like John Calipari got busted at Memphis with the whole Derrick Rose situation. The school went on probation. He went to Kentucky and coached at Kentucky without any penalties. So I kind of like this idea, maybe not lifetime, you know, something like that, but, you know, or maybe you call it lifetime with the, you know, possibility of parole, however you want to look at it. But I kind of like that, Dan, because, you know, these coaches can just, you know, walk away from a situation. Would you be a little more adaptive to these penalties, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say lifetime, 5 to 10 years. Cause, I mean, even 10 years, I think it's not a lifetime. I mean, it hurts the structure of that coach and his system. You know what I mean? And his people, the guys he has. You know, not only that, and I hate to take it one step further and, you know, really hurt his personal life too, but, you know, treat it more like a criminal, like you said, you know, lifetime ban, or you give him 5 to 10 years. And if you're another coach or an assistant coach or someone affiliated with the college program and you're commingling with them, You might be under scrutiny, too. I don't know if you want to go that far, but, you know, ex-cons aren't allowed to hang out with ex-cons when they're on school. Or I guess you're still a cop.
You know, and I know that you... Yeah, you know, they'll be the people out there who say, well, you know, this is the way this guy makes his living, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, he can always go coach at Division II or III or NAIA or, you know, go get a high school job.
Yeah.
You know, go be a pro assistant, you know, go overseas. So.
Well, I mean, it's all... I get that part, you know, it's his livelihood and all that, but his livelihood was based on cheating.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, Dan, if you were a bank employee and you robbed a bank, I'm guessing there wouldn't be a bank waiting to hire you, would there?
No. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I know that's an outlandish comparison, but, you know, I mean, it would be nice to see... You know, again, the actual kind of student athletes, you know, make their way in college, and you know, it might make the game a little more fun. It would seem more like, you know, like Dan and I could compete. Not really, but you know.
Well, no, but I mean. When you think about the coaches that get caught cheating, how many of them are still busting their butts to, you know, make it and do the right thing. And I think, you know, even imposing five to plus years, even to 10 years, is going to hurt a cheating coach a lot more than one who's not cheating because, you know, in my mind, I would think that the coaches that are cheating are going to be up there in age. You know, they're going to be the guys, but, you know, not to say that it's not going to be guys my age, you know, in your early 40s and such, but to me, the guys who really are good at the cheating of this game, I think, would be in their 50s, you know, 50 plus. And if you knock them out 5 to 10 years, you're looking at, you know, you're putting them in their 60s now. And by that time, you know, while they may not lose all their connections and the people they know, are they really going to want to get back on that road again?
Yeah, well, you know, and then, you know, I mean, you take the example, you know, there was a former player from the University of North Carolina, I want to say it was Rashad McCants, actually came out and spoke to the NBA about the fact how he was given his grades and how he wasn't made to go to class. You know, the majority of his grades were fabricated. You know, he flat out admitted this. The university, of course, denied it completely.
Oh, yeah.
And somehow, Dan, I don't know how the hell they did it, they got away unpunished. So I don't know how, you know, I mean, here you've got a kid who went to the school, you know, flat out said, hey, look, all this stuff was fake. You know, you can't believe it was just him it was faked for. And there was zero, I don't even know if the NCAA looked into it. You know, the university, the coach, oh, this didn't happen, blah, blah, blah. You know, North Carolina is one of the biggest programs in college basketball. Nothing. Zero penalties. They walked away scot-free. I don't understand that at all.
Well, you know, and you've got to imagine, and obviously the stuff we're talking about is a possibility and could happen, but do you almost get combine-like with the NBA like you do with the NFL? And then, you know, even going to both programs, when do they start instituting, you know, lie detector tests? Specifically when it comes to the school stuff.
Yeah, those are like inadmissible, right? So.
Yeah, they are, but I mean, it's still, once you get that, you can start building on more evidence.
Does it need to be saved? Maybe people like the game the way it is.
Well, but that's the thing, though. It's like, quit the charade. Quit. Why do we have to keep you know, it's kind of like Chicago politics. You know, we know how it works, especially when Mayor Daley was in office. You don't like something, well, you come in overnight, you bulldoze an entire island airport, and then nobody does anything about it. That's what the college basketball is like. We're just supposed to accept it. You know, that's one thing, working with the public for almost 20 years, and, you know, one thing you're taught when you deal with in a service industry is you really don't talk about religion, politics, or sex, because, you know, that's just, you know, you don't want to put all your business out there publicly. But one of the things I found, you know, just even lightly touching on politics in Illinois especially, was the fact there was this flat-out acceptance. Well, it is the way it is. You know, we have this mafia-style politics, you know, as they call it, the Democratic machine in Chicago politics. But we just accept it, and instead of, you know, really going out and voting against it, we just keep voting for it and hope that, you know, we don't get affected. And that's the thing. As long as it's not 100% affecting our lives, we don't care. And, I mean, when it comes to college basketball, no, it doesn't affect our lives. But let's be honest, Big Jack, what's one of the reasons I don't care to watch it? Because I know it's all a bunch of crap. You know, certain teams like the Kentuckys, yay, I'm going to root for them, but it's going to be a new team next year. It's BFD. But, you know, instituting all this stuff, let's just get rid of the freaking charade. Let's get rid of the charade. Why are you, you know, quotation marks that I'm doing right now, giving a kid a scholarship to play basketball? You know what it comes down to is because it's come down to more of accounting. Giving those scholarships is like a donation. A donation is what? Like a write-off. Now all the revenue you're generating, you get to match that against these, you know, scholarships, these fake scholarships that you're giving to student athletes that don't go to class. They don't do anything. They don't get a degree. They don't do anything with it. So then you get a nice write-off. You build together a nice basketball program. You generate a ton of money from, you know, from TV to the, what do we call it? The March Madness to jersey sales, pencils, backpacks. You just keep naming it. Jackets, Scullies, baseball type hats. You know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, quit the charade. Just pay them. But then if you did that, then what would be the point of the NBA? What would be the point of either one?
Right. All right. Well. Wish me luck here, Dan. We got a couple people on hold. I'm gonna try to bring one in here. I don't know how this is gonna go with this computer, but let's see. Hello, are you there? Welcome to Sports Time Radio.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Good. How are you? What's your name?
Naj.
So hey, thanks for calling. You got an opinion on this, Nash?
Well, yeah. Well, finally, I guess you could say it's taken a long time, but I think the average person is kind of coming to the realization that this has all been a farce from the beginning. That piece by I think it was Taylor Branch a few years ago in the Atlantic kind of exposed all that. So everybody knew what this was. But the other problem you have with this is, there's a huge portion of this country that does not want to see those kids get paid, does not want to see those kids actually reap the benefits of their labor. So that's the catch-22 colleges in, because, of course, they love the money, love the revenue, and they will continue this farce of being so-called higher institutions of learning. But if you can play a certain sport that'll bring them a lot of money, then, hey, man, we can skirt the rules a little bit. We can do this. We can do that. So, you know, all of this is nonsense. It's been this way for a long time. I'm glad people are finally becoming aware of it. But, yeah, the anger that people feel towards most athletes in general, pro athletes, of course, always, just because of jealousy and hatred there. But when you start talking about college, people want to believe in the idea of student athletes and amateurism and all of the stuff that hasn't existed in 40 years. They want to believe in that, so they ignore all of the TV money and all of the other stuff, that huge trough that everybody else is eating out of, except the people actually producing the money. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. I'm glad people are coming around, though.
Well, and it's
now, are you a college basketball fan?
Oh, no, not anymore. Not anymore. Yeah, a couple years ago, I made myself stop watching. Hopefully, I can stop watching NCAA football. I'm trying to get there, too. But right now, I'm a hypocrite on it because I gave up basketball, so I'm trying to get rid of that one, too.
Dan, did you have a follow-up for him?
Break time.
Oh,
what'd you say?
So, all right. Well, Dan's got to disappear for a minute. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You had a really informed opinion. So, thanks for taking the time to touch base with us.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too. All right. Well, one caller worked. Let's see if we can get the other caller to work here. Hello, you there? Welcome to Sports Time Radio.
Yes. How are you doing, Big Jack?
Good. How? What's your name?
My name is Dan, too. And, you know, I was calling. I wanted to apologize to the other Dan. Me and him are good friends outside the show. And, you know, I just wanted to apologize.
Oh, okay.
Me and him went to a strip club a couple nights ago, and I kind of sold him out for touching one of the girls.
All right. Well, you know, they can't all be winners. We got the, you know, the first call from Nas was really good, and the second one just didn't work out. You know, sometimes those kind of happen, and we just gotta move along. But yeah, I saw the you know, we were talking a little bit about you know, basketball and just kind of wrapping it up that way. I don't know if you caught this story, but LeVar Ball has decided that he is going to pull LaMelo and LiAngelo from the, and I am going to butcher this team's name like you wouldn't believe, Vantas Prinu is the team they play for in Lithuania. It's VYTAUTASPRIENU. So good luck with that. I hope that hope somebody else can do better than I did with that. But they are leaving two games early. So apparently, what they're looking to do is LiAngelo is going to be, as they put the term, shut down to prepare for the NBA Combine and pre-draft camp. And let's see what they have anything for LaMelo here. He just believes LaMelo wasn't getting enough playing time. I don't understand why. I can understand you want to ship, you know, LiAngelo off to get ready for camp. I have no problem with that whatsoever, but you might as well let LaMelo run out the last couple games, right? I mean, why not just let him go ahead and finish it, you know, finish it up? But, you know, the big LeVar quote here is, you know, we're not going to waste our time no more. Is what he said. That's a direct quote, so I didn't butcher the language there. That's what came out of his mouth. I don't know. Let's see. It looks like a little farther here. LiAngelo injured his ankle. LaMelo didn't get any playing time, so LeVar decided to take all his sons back to L.A. Lonzo is visiting his family in Priena right now, and they're set to leave on Sunday or Monday. So, you know, we'll have that going there, and I guess we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't understand why two games would have been that big a deal. LiAngelo averaged 12.6 points per game. He was actually second on the team. He was playing 21 minutes a game. LaMelo, he played in just 8 games, averaged 6.5 points per game, and was playing just 12 minutes. So, yeah, obviously I could see where you wanted to get LaMelo a little more time. I don't know. You know, it's just kind of you know, a crapshoot when you get LaVar there. You never know what's gonna happen here or there. But you know, they're coming back so LiAngelo can get ready for the draft, which he may not actually be drafted. But we shall see. So Dan, are you excited that your friends are coming home?
Oh yeah. I mean, season one of the Facebook series was pretty decent. I just never really got into season two for whatever reason.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of hoping you would watch it. Maybe I'll have to look it up because I'm interested to know what they show in like Lithuania there with what's going on with them. So.
Well, I don't know if season two went to Lithuania or not, but I'm pretty positive they had to deal with. Have to deal with the China situation, but I could be wrong. I have no clue. I didn't really get into it.
That's
but,
true.
You know,
I kind of forgot about the China.
Yeah. You know, and while you kept cutting me off, what I was going to say to Naz's comments, which I agreed with, you know, and it's funny that he brought up the fact that people get mad and don't want to see these kids get paid. And it's, you know, nothing, you know, one of the things you're talking about, nothing really happens to the schools. Yet, if one of these kids goes out and trades an autograph on a napkin or, you know, something, anything, he gets, you know, his butt handed to him.
Yes.
So.
Well, the price you pay for being an amateur, right?
Yeah. As we paid the price by, a guy who's not my friend with my name.
Yes. So, who tried to imply that you were touching dancers at a strip club. But, you know, like I said, they can't all be winners. We got one really good call and then one that was just kind of out in the weeds there. But, hey, that's not bad for us. One for two, that's pretty good. I just shocked by the fact we got callers.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to call 646-478-5353. So.
It's just odd how that happened.
Yeah, you know, of all days, it's the day, you know, I had to pull out the old slow computer because I killed the other one, you know, but fortunately it, you know, it worked for both. So I'm happy about that. We'll just, you know, have to see how it continues along with my life here. Maybe we can make it through the last 17 minutes of the podcast and, you know, things will be okay. So
now,
but
where,
all right, you know, I got to ask you.
Were there other things that Condoleezza Rice committee came up with? We kind of went
off. You know,
there
were some other there were some other talking points there. You know, the main two issues were the getting rid of the one and dones, and then the fines. They're not so much the fines, but the penalties they were looking to instill. Oddly, one of the things that they didn't discuss apparently at all was paying players.
Of course.
So, you know, and again, I think, you know, that, you know, our caller kind of made a, you know, a nice sighting there with that when he, you know, said we're happy to, you know, kind of turn a blind eye there and just be like, yeah, okay, whatever. So... but yeah, those were kind of the main points they were on and the points that I've seen everybody really hit on. So I just kind of stuck with them. I was looking at the article, but it was on the tablet and it was a little small and you know how my eyesight is. So, you know, I didn't see anything that caught my attention, but you know, maybe if, you know, I can look into it a little more, maybe we'll see if they have something a little deeper. But yeah, those were the big things. And, you know, like the one that really stuck to me is I kind of liked the idea of the coach finally getting, I don't know if you want to call it their comeuppance or how you want to look at it, but I like that they're actually finally being something for him. You know, because like I said, a lot of these guys, they get into a situation and they just walk away and the school suffers. You know, or in some cases, I know, like, you know, with Memphis, you know, let's be honest, it was Derrick Rose who got them in trouble all those years ago. He went to the pros, and it was the other kids on the team who paid the price. So, you know, or, you know, I mean, even a lesser extent, you know, to the Penn State situation, you know, all that stuff was incredibly terrible that, you know, piece of crap Jerry Sandusky did to those poor kids. But you ended up punishing a bunch of kids who weren't at the school while this went on. I mean, there had to be a better way to do it. And I guess maybe the fact that, you know, Sandusky was old and out of the sport. I mean, I guess there wasn't really a ton of options. You know, you find the school and you punish the football program just to make it look like you're doing something, but it came out so late. I don't know if they were in a position to really make that right, were they?
Not really. You know, like you said, you're so punishing, you know, kids 30 years later. They weren't even born when
These kids. Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, again, you know, the stuff he did was reprehensible. I mean, there's no, it's completely understandable why they wanted to do something. It's just disappointing it didn't come out when he was actually at the school, you know, to that effect. They could have obviously done a whole lot more. But, yeah, it just kind of, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they did the best they could. I mean, obviously the fines are appropriate and, you know, it doesn't matter if you take Joe Paterno's wins away. You know, they're already in the books. Nobody's going to care about that. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
Public canings. Public caning would have been.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hopefully, you know, they, you know, hopefully they can institute some of these rules and, you know, maybe get it back a little closer to what it's supposed to be, which is, you know, an amateur contest. You know, it's not supposed to be pros. So, you know, we'll see. But, while we were talking about, I was talking about your guy, LeVar. Are you surprised that he yanked his kids? I mean, it's two games.
No, I mean, if he doesn't get his way or he doesn't like what's going on, he's quick to just run away. That's kind of what I gathered from the first season of their Ball in the Family. You know, and there was only one situation where his kid and his, you know, the kid's team were at some kind of tournament. You know, obviously he was the coach. And I don't know if it was the whole female referee thing, but, you know, he just went off on whoever and he just pulled the team. Hold the games. And I mean, at the end of the day, I get it from a standpoint that, you know, maybe he's out there trying to protect or, you know, in his mind, he's trying to do right, but he's not. He's just hurting the kids more so than anything. And what he's really teaching, especially Mello and the kids who are running with him, was that if something doesn't go your way, well, who cares? Just start yelling at everybody and, you know, take your ball and go home, so to speak. I guess pun intended on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think, I don't know if they were all on the Facebook series there, but I believe he walked out of a couple games that he was coaching with his team after, you know, he didn't like the way the refs were calling the game or something like that, and he just ended up walking out, you know, took the team and left. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then the other part of it too is, you know, he picks and chooses refs he likes. So then they're friendly with him, but then, you know, whether they're friendly with him or not, that just gives the other teams a bad taste in their mouth. The other coaches, it's like, oh, well, the balls are here. So just forget about everything. Cause, you know, these are the refs that he likes, and, you know, and while they may not do everything, they, you know, they might be fair, you know, it's just, I seen that growing up, you know, watching my nephew play football. It was, you know, it was only flag football, but still, it's, you know, when I watched my nephew, and there's a kid who was really fast on his team the one year. You know, it's flag football, right? My nephew's running. The opposite team kid dives for my nephew and clips the ankles. And once the kid falls, they're down. You know, and then at halftime, these coaches are hanging out in the middle of the field with the referees. Like, what kind of crap is that? It's ridiculous. You know, but then I'm the jerk who yells at the refs because I call them cheaters.
Yeah.
So I guess, am I any better than Ball? I don't know. Call it what you want.
Yeah, well, you didn't take him home, did you? You didn't pull your nephew off the field
No.
and take his team home or whatever? So.
No. The good and the bad for him, though, is the fact that it's all being recorded now. So now there's really no other judgment can be made because there it is. It's right there. You threw a tantrum because you didn't get your way and you left.
Yeah, I've had such a difficult time trying to decide, just kind of decide on this guy. I'm like, I get the, I get, and I actually like the idea that he's all for his kids. Most of the stuff he does really has the kids' best interest in mind. You know, he wants to, make the money. I'd be interested to know how much of the money the kids see. Not so much Lonzo, because he has a pro contract now, and that's his money. But, I know, like, LaMelo is driving. Isn't he driving, like, a Ferrari or something? So,
yeah,
they seem to be getting kind of, right, or maybe it's a Lambo, yeah. You know, they're getting a trickle down, because there are, plenty of sad cases where the parents have just exploited their children and taking their money and, pissed it all away. And then the kids end up with nothing. So, at least it's looking, like he's doing that. I do wonder, how he's going to react if, what happens if LiAngelo goes undrafted, cause there's a really good possibility that could happen. LaMelo was supposed to be originally the best one out of them all, and it doesn't look that way any longer. Obviously he's got a couple years to improve still, but not being in high school anymore, I don't know where he's going to go to make that improvement. He's going to have to go back overseas somewhere, and, if you just burnt this bridge, you never know when teams might just say, hey, we're not interested. So I don't know. I mean, if LiAngelo goes undrafted, what happens here, Dan? How big of a freak out do we get out of LeVar?
I think pretty big. I mean, I don't know if he's acting agent also. I'm sure he's got a better agent for Angelo where he can, maybe work it in to get signed, which I think will still end up happening, but I think he's going to end up being a G leaguer. But when it comes to Melo,
yeah.
I don't think it's the game that's going to hurt him. I think it's going to be the third child syndrome. I mean, you know all about that, the baby syndrome.
Yeah. So I am the third child.
Yeah. No, but I mean, when we look at when you go into sports and athletics and you look at some of the families that have come before, be it in other sports. And obviously the only sport I can really talk about is baseball. But when you talk about the Molinas and, even Brett Boone and his family, it just seemed like everything was all about working hard and to keep that going, where I don't think it's so much, LeVar and Melo's fault, but it is part of the times too. Where they're babied a little bit more. And I think that's where that comes in. And I honestly think it's a matter of he could have it all, but I don't think he's going to work hard enough. Almost like with Snoop Dogg. His kid was playing football for UCLA, which I'm surprised he wasn't in basketball. And then he came out and was just like, this isn't what I want to do. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I quit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is different, so.
You know? Well, not only that, that's the big talk with that quarterback, that rich kid quarterback that everyone's doubting because he's a rich kid. You know, you brought up the fact that he has too many philanthropic things going on in his life. But the biggest complaint I've heard about him is because he's a rich kid, he's not going to work as hard. He doesn't want it as bad. You know, where I think with Melo's attitude, it's going to be almost expected, you know. So there's a lot of factors working against him, I think, right now.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a little odd because obviously, you know, LeVar can threaten all he wants about, you know, Alonzo walkout or whatever if they don't draft LiAngelo. But, you know, Alonzo's got a binding contract. So, you know, if he walks away from it, what's he going to do, sit out the next 4 years? Yeah, there'll be a lot of value there when he wants to come back. And he can't even go play overseas because he's under contract to the Lakers. So, you know, you can't threaten him and say, hey, well, I'm going to take all three boys and we're going to go here. It doesn't work like that. Lonzo's locked in. You know, then, you know, the NBA has a working agreement with those other overseas leagues. So nobody's going to, you know, to break that, you know, contract or whatever. You know, the only thing he could do is get his own league going, which he's talked about. But I haven't heard much about that lately. It came out of his mouth. It was a hot topic for a couple of days and then it went away. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, not only that, I mean, there's only one place I could think of where he could play. North Korea.
Do they have a basketball league? I don't even know. So,
I don't know.
You know, that's, you know,
I think Oon's a lover.
Always. But yeah, it's interesting because that's the one, like, really interesting thing I am interested in the NBA draft is I just want to know if somebody really does pick him. So, you know, because there's always a lot of extra talent, you know, in the draft that literally goes undrafted. I mean, it's just two rounds. You're only looking at, what, 60 or 64 guys or something that get drafted. And, you know, you got to wonder, I mean, is LiAngelo really one of the top 64 players at this point?
I don't think so.
It's all stuff. You know, we got the NFL draft, then the NBA draft comes up. You know, then I think the NHL draft comes up, and then I don't know, somewhere in there's the baseball draft. We got all kinds of drafts going on. We just don't know what's happening. Yeah, I know. You know, I know we're almost out of time here, but you got to tell me how. Are you with the Chris Bryant injury? Because now it's two games in a row, and I'm starting to wonder what's going on here.
Well, I have him in the ESPN league we're in, so it's not working out too well. But that league is really not working out too well for me to begin with. But it's only April, and I really honestly believe to err on the safe side. Especially when it comes to getting hit in the face and the head. I mean, that was a pretty nasty hit to the face.
All right, well, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. And, hey, the computer made it through the day, so that's a big plus there. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. While we're gone, though, you know what to do. Check out sportstimeradio.com. Even though that blog didn't pop up over there, swing over there and see what's going on. Maybe we can get it up tomorrow or something like that. Follow the link to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. That would be cool. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to it at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.